What I'm going to say tonight, the ikker, part that I'm going to say, maybe we'll spice it up a little bit, but the ikker is a Pachad Yitzchak, Pesach, Maamar Nun Beis. And one of the things that are wonderful about that Maamar is that besides the etzem information of the Maamar itself, it's mamish one of these Maamarim that open your eyes to a whole new way of understanding Divrei Chazal. Your life pre-Maamar Nun Beis and post-Maamar Nun Beis are two different lives. It's an eye-opening experience. So Parshas Vayechi has it, and one of the things that Parshas Vayechi discusses, Barichos at the beginning, is, do you need a pen? One of the things that Parshas Vayechi discusses is the Misa of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's Petira. Okay, so let's start with the Pasuk and Parshas Bechukeisa. The Pasuk and Parshas Bechukeisa at the end of the Teichicha. The end of the Teichicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying about there's going to be Klai Yisrael will do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember us and bring Mashiach, and so on. V'zocharti is bris Yaakov, and I will remember the bris of Yaakov. Yaakov is spelled very interestingly in that pasuk. It's spelled Yud Ayin Kuf Vav Beis. Usually Yaakov is spelled just four letters, Yud Ayin Kuf Beis. But in that pasuk, it's spelled Yud Ayin Kuf Vav Beis. And Rashi says, Chav Vav Mem Beis. Rashi says that in five places, Yaakov is written Malay with the extra Vav. Because in five places, Yaakov, and Eliyahu, and Nach is written five places without the Vav, Eliyah, without the Vav in the end. He says, because there are five times Yaakov Avinu took the Vav out of Eliyahu and put it in his own name, as an Orev, as a collateral, that Eliyahu will bring the Geula to his children. So Yaakov took five Vavs from Eliyahu, so that, to be Mavtiach, to assure that Eliyahu will bring the Geula. Now this Rashi is, I'll read you Rav Huttner's reaction to the Rashi. Kolev margish yedeya ne'emona. Any feeling heart knows very well. Ki afilu pshutam shel dvarim halalu razei olam hei. That even the simple meaning of these words are secrets of the world. Ubevadai she'en lanu esek v'nistarais. Avada, we don't have any involvement in Sisrei Torah. But Rav Huttner teaches us what he's going to say in this maimer, Ela Shalafi Erkenu, but according to our level, Mahalach Advarim Hukadilakaman. We're going to say that's the Mahalach at our level. But and you'll see that what he says doesn't answer up every dictum, and Rashi doesn't explore. He, in the end, he says, why Vav? I don't know if I'll go into that tonight. But why five times? And what it means that he took an Eiravain. A lot of this stuff still is going to be plenty of room to continue to learn. But the basic idea of what's going on, to have some words to explain what it means that Eliyahu keeps the promise to Yaakov, that whole process, at least we'll get to understand a little bit. And there's a very, very sure Gemara, Masechet Tainis, that brings out, that's Nageya more directly to our parashas, the parashas Vayechi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, very, very famous Gemara, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. Yaakov Avinu did not die. Surprising, huh? Yaakov Avinu did not die. So the Gemara says, Omar Leisi, he said to him, V'chi b'kedi softu safdenaya v'chontu chantaya v'kovru kivraya. So for nothing, they did the chanita, and they masped him, and they buried him. What did they bury if he didn't die? So Omar Leisi, Intan Mikra Adi Dairish, I'm dashing a pasuk. Shan Emar is the pasuk that says, Va'ata Altira Avdi Yaakov, the Om Hashem, the Altechos Yisrael, Kihinani Moshiacha Merochik, via Zaracha Meroth Shuvim. And anyway, it says Yaakov together with his children. So the Gemara says, Makeshu Lazari, Ma Zari Bachayim, Afhu Bachayim. This Gemara does not read. He asked a question. He said, V'chi v'kedi, chontu chentaya, v'softu seftaya, v'kovru kevraya. What did he answer? I'm darshaning a pasuk. That's a very nice drasha, but I still have my question. B'chi b'kedi chantu chentaya? It doesn't solve the problem. The Gemara doesn't read. You know, there's something we have to get used to doing. I see in Second Seder very, very often that the Gemara asks a question, and then the Gemara says a teretz, and the oil doesn't think back. Does the question, does the answer answer the question? So it's the same Gemara. You can read this Gemara without thinking. The Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, Mikra ani darshan. Oh, that's the answer. What's the answer? It doesn't answer anything. Very, very sure Gemara. So we have to know pshat in this Gemara. So the Yisoy that he says in this Maimer, the Yisoy that I've mentioned before for different things, I'm going to say the Yisoy and I'll give a few Dugumaris of it. And I know that when I learned this Yisoy, it was a dramatic change for me and how to appreciate how far-reaching and how deep the Rechazal are. There's many different levels of Torah, we know. Many different levels. For example, we've heard the phrase Shivim Panim LaTorah. We heard the phrase Memtes Panim LaTorah. And on a more basic level, we've all heard that there's such a thing called Pardes. Pardes stands for Pshat Remez Jushim Said. So you have, let's just say Pshat and Said, or Pshat and Drush, something like that. So Rav Unner has a klal, he talks about somewhere else. And it's a very, very good klal to remember. For Nashi, if you also speak of Rit, it's even more important to remember. And that is, he says, that sometimes you have Musagim and Kedusha, that the same Lashon Kodesh words, or Hebrew words, are used for Divrei Chayil. But when they're used for Divrei Chayil, they're taken out of context. And we get used to their Chayil usage. So much so that when they're used the Kedusha, we don't understand what they mean properly. And he says one good example is this thing. Pshat and Said, like what's open, what's revealed, and what's a secret. That's something that we use in our daily life. This is not a secret, this is a secret. What's the difference between something that's a secret and something that's not a secret? The difference is, did I hear it publicly? Did I hear it as common knowledge? Or did I hear it in a whisper and told not to tell anybody? That's the difference. In other words, if someone tells me he's getting engaged, he could just say, I'm getting engaged and everybody knows, and then it's pshat. Or he could say, please don't tell anyone I'm getting engaged. And then it's said. That's in chayil, it's like that. In kedusha, it's not that way. In Kedusha, Pshat and Seid are two completely different entities. And I'll explain what I mean. In Kedusha, Pshat is Pshat because that's what it is. And Seid is Seid because it's the etzem, something that's hidden. Pshat is Pshat. I'm going to explain more in a minute. Maish, don't lose hope on me here. I just want to say out the words and then I'll explain. Pshat is pshat because it's be'etzem something that's revealed. And soid is soid because it's be'etzem something that's secret, something that's hidden. What do I mean? He says like this. Let's just think logically. What did Hashem use to create the world? Everybody knows Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world. Histakel b'ra'isa u'bara alma. He says like this. He says the world is many, many different realities of this world. There's the physical world. There's the world of Ruchnias. And within the world of Ruchnias, and maybe a lot of places in between, there's a lot of different levels of a world. For example, you ever talk to a person and after he's finished talking to him, you say, he's a dead person. He's dead. You ever talk to a person and he's like so either depressed or down or not motivated? You're just like, he's dead. Is he dead? He's not dead. Did you just mean it as a phrase? No, you didn't. You meant it literally. What do you mean? You mean that in his emotion and in his personality, he's dead. If you have someone who's, let's say, depressed, not doing anything, and then suddenly he comes to life and he's shining and he's accomplishing, what will you say? You'll say, Tchias Amesim. What do you mean? He was alive the whole time. But not everything is in the physical life. There's deeper meanings. And it's the same reality, it's just different realities. It's not any less true. If in a certain sense, it's almost more true sometimes. Pshat in Torah is reflective of what's on the surface in this world. Remez, Drush, and Soid reflects what's more hidden in this world. So Pshat has to be Pshat because it's what's apparent in this world. Drush, Remez, or Soid, whatever those levels are, have to be not Pshat, Because they're be'etzem not what's apparent in this world. And I know it's still not 100% clear, but when I give you, Binyamin, when I give you, I'm going to give you four examples, and when I have to give you the examples, you're going to be amazed that you ever looked at the Rechazal differently. And the first example I'm going to give is the example that Rav Huttner himself gives. And we're going to take a little tour of Chumash together. Four different places. First place. Moshe Rabbeinu was a little baby, and his parents decided they have to put him into a little basket and send him out onto the Nile. Everybody knows. And Moshe Rabbeinu was floating out on the Nile and by the river, and the daughter of Paro comes to bathe by the river, and she has servants. And it says, her servants, her maidservants, were walking by the edge of the river. And the Gemara says in Sotah, the Ha'ilchais is a phrase to be Ha'ilech Lemisa, going to your death. And the Gemara says that the maidservants of Bas Paroi were dying. They were just dying. They were dropping. They were dying. Why? Because they wanted to prevent Bas Paroi from taking in Moshe. And HaKadosh Baruch didn't want that to happen. Moshe had to be saved. So the Gemara says in Sotah, now we say Ha'ilchais. They're finished. They're gone. We say gone. Ha'ilchais. Comes along the Maharal in the Sefer Gevurah Hashem. And he says, when it says that they were dead, it doesn't mean that they were dead. It means that they no longer had enough chiyus to be able to speak up and say their cause and do anything. They were like emotionally, spiritually dead. They were like inactive. A Misa El Yaina, he calls it. When Nistalik Mehem Kaicham. They became puppets. They weren't able to do anything. So Rav Huttner asks, why does the Maharal say that? The Gemara says they died. It's not like one of these Gemaras that are very difficult to understand. The Gemara says that the maidservants of Bas Paroi died. Maharal says, oh, it's a Misa El Yoyna. What's wrong with the Pasha Pshat? The Gemara says they died. They died! So Rav Huttner, this is what it is. Moshe, does it say in the pasuk that they died, or does it say in the pasuk they were walking? It says in the pasuk, Narisel Holchis. In nature, they were walking. It doesn't say they died. Who says they died? Drash. The drush of the Torah. The Gemara brings out a drasha. It's a Heilech here, and it says Heilech there, and so on. There's a drasha that they died. If it's in the drush of the Torah, it's in the drush of the world. If it's not in the pshat of Torah, that they died, so that means it's not the pshat of what happened in reality. It's under the surface. How do you have someone die under the surface? They lose their whole kayak, their whole mazel, their whole reality gets lost. So here we find it's an unbelievable example that if something's in the pshat of the Torah, then it's going to be the pshat of reality. I'm happy we have a small chabur tonight. It's an edel thing, and I think we have a small chabur, we'll be able to get it much more clear. It's in the pshat of the Torah, it's in the reality of the physical world. If it's in the drush of the Torah, it's in the reality of a more ruchniyistika world, of a more pnimiyistika world. Example number two. Klal Yisrael standing by Har Sinai. So the pasuk says that Klal Yisrael stood b'sachtis ha'har, at the bottom of the mountain. Zok Rashi, that lefi pshutai, Rashi says, with your marshes, yes, right? This is, Rav Huttner doesn't say this, I heard from my Rosh Hashiva. This is what I just heard on the tape. Rashi says, they stood on the bottom, lefi pshutai, means they were on the bottom of the foot of the mountain. But the Medrash says, Rashi brings the famous Medrash, Kofa Aleihem Har Kegiges, that he held the mountain over them, and he said, either take it or die. So the Rosh Hashiva says like this. He says, the two Pshat and Rashi are not two steerers. What happened? Were they by the bottom of the mountain, or was the mountain on top of them? Which one? Which one was it? He says, this just like this Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Tzayd in Torah, this Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Tzayd in a person. Just like it's in the world, in a person himself. There's the physical reality of the person. Then there's the ruchnius, and then the deeper ruchnius, and then the deeper ruchnius of a person. A person is a reflection of the Torah also. So he said, 100%. In the pshat, in the physical, they were standing at the foot of the mountain. 100%. Is that lefi pshutai, in the pasha pshat, right, the pshat reflects what was in the physically apparent, they were sitting at the foot of the mountain. But the drushes, what was going on inside their nefesh, inside their ruchnius, was that the revelation of Torah was so huge to them that they felt like they have to take this or die. You know, sometimes a person, someone's in a difficult situation, and the door opens, and you see, there's the Hatzalah. My hope is there. Right? I'll give you an example. You know, someone, let's say, is in a very, very, very bad matzav, and he finally meets a person, and he sees that this person has the ability to pull him out. Whether through advice or through help or whatever it is, this person could pull him out of a very difficult situation. So he runs after the person. Does the person doing anything to him? No. He runs after the person. He says, help me and take care of me and take me under your wing and everything. He runs after the person. Years later, he looks back and he says, I was forced to follow that person. Nobody forced you. Yeah, in pshat, I wasn't forced. But it was so obvious to me that my future lies in following this person that emotionally speaking, drush speaking, I was compelled, I was handcuffed to this guy. You understand? So the feet pshuta, it says they were talking on the bottom of the mountain. Physically, the physical guf understands it has to be makabel Torah. Does our guf understand it has to be makabel Torah? No, our guf understands a steak. Our guf doesn't understand it has to be makabel Torah. But our neshama was exposed to a Torah could do for us, it felt compelled to be mekabel the Torah. So lefi pshutai, they were on the bottom of the mountain. Lefi midrashai, which represents what's going on inside. Kafa aleim harkegigas. Shem tehek for us, you're dead if you're not mekabel the Torah. This is where chiyas lies. This is where your future lies.
So it never really happened.
What?
So never
it
really
did happen. It just didn't happen in the physical world. We're so physical that when we say something didn't happen in the physical world, we're like, it didn't happen. But if we would be a little more spiritual, it did happen. It's a full, absolute reality in a spiritual world.
Every slave in the Torah never happened in the spiritual
world. In the lowly physical world. Right. I'll tell you one more. I really have two more prepared.
Slave in the Torah, but not every miracle.
Right.
Right,
100%.
Miracle, then, yeah.
Right, 100%. We're going to get to that. 100%. Kriyas Yamsuf is in the Torah. It happened. Exactly, Bipshat. It happened. Exactly like it's described. I'll tell you one more example. I really have two more, but I'm going to tell you one more. Because the other one gets a little bit more complicated. If we have time afterwards, maybe I'll get to it. This is something I've mentioned before. I'm sure Rabbi Schlingelman probably remembers this. But I can't not fit it in here. It fits it too beautifully right here. Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, now we just skip the Parshas Balayisra. Pesach Sheni, it says that there were people who were Tamei Lenefesh, there were people who were Tamei Meis, and they couldn't be marked for the first Pesach. So they cried out to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out from being Makar V'Korban Pesach? We also want to be Makar V'Korban Pesach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mesakein Mechadish of Parsha called Pesach Sheni. That if someone's tummy for the first time bringing Korban Pesach, a month later he has a second chance. He could be Metayer himself in between, and he has a second chance to bring Korban Pesach. And the Psukim Takasei, you familiar with this mitzvah? The Psukim Takasei, that someone who's far away, or Tamei Lenefesh, and he's not able to bring a Korban Pesach, should come on Tesvav Iyar and bring a Korban Pesach. What happens if a person is sitting in Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach, twiddling his thumbs, couldn't care less that it's Erev Pesach, and just doesn't bother bringing a Korban Pesach? So I would say, reading the Pasuk, he doesn't have a Pesach Sheni. Because the Pasuk says that someone who's far away, or someone who's Tamei, he has to bring a Pesach Sheni. But what if someone who's close by and just doesn't bother? You read the Pesukim, you'll think. He doesn't have to bring a Korban Pesach. Yet, the Gemara in Pesachim darshins, a drasha, that someone who's amazed also has to bring a Pesach Sheni. Someone who's amazed, and then he does tshuva between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, and gets a hold of himself, he better bring the current Pesach for Pesach Sheni. That's a very big omission in the Pashup Shad of the Pesukim. How come the Pesukim say someone who's tamei, someone who's far away, and can't do it, he should bring a Pesach Sheni? It should just say simply, anybody who doesn't bring a Pesach Rishon should bring a Pesach Sheni. I'll tell you why. Because why was we misakin Pesach Sheni? Moshe, you hear my kasha? Why were we misakin Pesach Sheni? We were misakin Pesach Sheni because there were people who screamed, I don't want to lose out being kai in this mitzvah. Someone who's tamei, or someone who's far away, it's reasonable that he feels like, I wanted to be Mekayim in the Korban Pesach, and I wasn't able to. But somebody who's sitting in Yerushalayim twiddling his thumbs, is he screaming, I want to be Mekayim in the Korban Pesach? Is he screaming, I want to be Mekayim in the Korban Pesach? Yes, he is. Just not on the chutz. Every Yid wants to be Mekayim in the Korban Pesach. It's just a question of how deeply he wants to be Mekayim. In Pshat, he doesn't want to be Mekayim the Korban Pesach. So in Pshat, it couldn't say in the Pasuk that he should bring the Korban Pesach. But in Drush, what's going on in his heart? What's going on in his neshama? Of course, you think there's a Yid in the world that doesn't want to bring the Korban Pesach? Of course he wants to bring the Korban Pesach. So in Drush, the Gemara Darsh is that he should bring the Korban Pesach. Yeah. You got it? You hear it now a little better? So this is the klal. This is the klal that Rav Huttner says. So now, amazing. Shah and his Gemara and Tainus. You're going to love this, Nasha. You're going to love this. Shah and the Gemara and Tainus. It's just beautiful pshat. Rush, whatever. The Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu loy meis. Did Yaakov Avinu die?
No.
Of course he died. They buried him. Of course he died. It's a drasha. It's a drasha. So listen to what happened. The Gemara said, Yaakov Avinu lo imes. The Havamin of the Gemara was that in Pshat he didn't die. So the Gemara says, what? Yaakov Avinu didn't die? What are you talking about? They did Chanita, they were masvin him, they buried him. Of course he died. What are you talking about? Omalei, Mikra ani doiresh. I'm telling you a drasha. Don't bother me with the Pashup Shad and the Pasuk. I'm telling you it was a drasha. Isn't that great pshat? Isn't that great pshat?
Well, that's right, that's pshat.
He brings a pasuk, you'll see a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Dafayim with Beis and Tainus. You did Tainus, didn't you? So, Rav Huttner says this in Pachad Yitzchak, and I'm not going to start second-guessing where he gets different things from, but I have to admit that I did find it in Sefer Tzaddik also. Okay? Nasha, you tell me if you think this is where Rav Huttner is coming from. Okay? I'll read you a few lines of Rav Tzaddik. Ukum ha-shekasov mikra ani dairish makesh hu lezari. Ratzaloyma. Ato nevi li me edus hakasa va masha ro'u b'muchash ba'olam hazeh. Aval ani doyresh ha-mikra, she-hadrash hu ha-sogas ha-oimek ha-ne'olam. No? It's right here. It's right here. Takonis ha-shavim o'izvav. He says the same thing that Rav Huttner says. Let me ask you something. So Yaakov Avinu, in the Pshat world, he died, right? Did Eliyahu die in the Pshat world?
No.
No. The Pasuk says, of course, Eliyahu went up to Shemayim alive. So the Farish Pasuk. In Pshat. What?
Elisha.
With Elisha watching. Avi Rechav Yisrael. Eliyahu got into a fire, a chariot of fire. In the Pshat of the Pesukim, he got into a chariot of fire, and he flew up into Shemayim. In the Pshat, Eliyahu never died. So there's a big difference between Yaakov not dying and Eliyahu not dying. Yaakov didn't die in Drush, in the Pnimius. Eliyahu didn't die even in this world. Eliyahu really didn't die. Even in our, really, I just, in our reality didn't die. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you what Rav Huttner says, Vayter, and then we'll go back and understand. When I read this maim, I read it a few times, and one of the later times reading it through, I realized that there's a message here in this maim that's so powerful that at Mamish, it's going to be a different parashas Vayechi this Shabbos. It says like this. Every time there's a drush, it's because there's a kasha on the pshat. There's some kind of ha'ar, right? You know, every time Rashi says a midrasha, they always say, Rashi has a kasha on the pshat. Drush is not a made-up thing. There's some simon in the pshat for that drush. So Rav Huttner says, Eliyahu is the pshat of the drush of Yaakov Lo Yemes. We're going to explain ourselves. Don't get worried. In the world of pshat, Eliyahu didn't die. Eliyahu is the pshat of Yaakov Lo Yemes. Okay, what's going on here? So we need a little background here. I once heard, I think I heard from our Shiva. If it was him that I heard from, almost positive, this goes back about 12 or 13 years ago. She was probably those screaming wild kids that I had to walk through while I was walking from Sanhedrin to Arnof that Shabbos. Everybody knows there's a bone in a person's body that's called a luz bone. And the luz bone, they say, does not decompose. Every other part of a person's body decomposes after his nifter. The luz bone always stays. And the understanding of that is that there's a makom left in every single person's guf, and from there, the rest of him gets built. L'tchias HaMeisim. Klal Yisrael is also a guf. All the gufim of Klal Yisrael make up one big guf called Klal Yisrael. What's our luzbon? Eliyahu HaNovi. Eliyahu HaNovi is the luzbon of Klal Yisrael. So he says like this. He says, we know that Eliyahu's job is v'heshev levavay salbonim, v'levonim alavaysim, to connect the children to their root. That's Eliyahu Novi's job. He says, Yaakov Leimeis is under the surface. We're going to explain everything. Yaakov Leimeis is under the surface. Eliyahu Novi is on the surface. Eliyahu Novi's job, when Mashiach comes, when it's time for Tchiyas HaMeisa, Eliyahu's job is to take the Shoyrish, the root of Yaakov Avinu, of Yaakov Lo Yemes, and to bring it out into the world of Pshat to make everyone have Tchiyas HaMeisa. That's Eliyahu Novi's job. That's what he says. I'm reading this again and again, it sounds a little vague. Suddenly I realized what he's trying to say. And it's an incredible thing. I think it's Mamashah. Incredible thing. What he's saying is, and after I explain it, we'll go back to the words that he said, and you'll see that it's not a pshat. What he's saying is that this that Yaakov Avinu lo yemes, even though he's dead, but that there's a chias in Yaakov Avinu that is lo yemes, is the koyach of a chias hameisim. This that there exists in every yid, the fact that he will never fully die, there's no such a thing as death to a yid, comes from the fact that Yaakov Avinu lo yemes. And I looked weiter in the Sefer Yotzav. Find a say, I can't find the exact page now, I'll find it after. But Rav Tzadik says that the drasha, if you remember, the drasha in Tainus says that Ma keshu lezaroi, ma zaroi b'chaim, ma fu b'chaim. That it's the pasuk puts Yaakov together with his children. So the drasha is, how do you know Yaakov in Olay Meis? Just like his children are alive, so too he's alive. So Rav Tzadik says, and I heard the same thing from my Rosh Hashiva, this sukkah. Rav Tzadik says, this that Yaakov Avinu is alive is within his children. Makish hu lezari. Where is the chiyus of Yaakov Avinu? Where is it? It's in his children. Okay, let me explain.
Why didn't he call him Yisrael?
That's a good... look at the mind, you'll see he deals with that.
When?
Okay, let's try to explain one thing weiter, and then we'll wrap it up. There's an unbelievable nevuah to Yechezkel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Yechezkel to a valley of dry bones. Very famous nevuah. And he tells Yechezkel, he says, tell me, Ben Adam, tell me, HaSichyena HaAtzama Yisraela, can these bones live? So Yechezkel says, Hashem Elokim or something, Ata Yadata, you know. In other words, I don't see any chiyus. Maybe you see chiyus. I don't see any life in these bones, the dead bones. And sure enough, it says, Gidim came on, skin, flesh, nervous systems, everything came onto the bones. They all came together and they became alive. And they stood up. People stood up. They were alive. And so that was what Yechezkel saw. What's this funny back and forth? Can these bones live? Oh, you know. The message there is like this, that inside every single yid, there's a certain chiyus that's untouchable. There's a certain life that's untouchable. No matter what happens to him spiritually, and no matter what happens to him physically, that yid remains alive. Now, in pshat, he could die. And on all surface levels, we could see this person is dead. Either Ruchni is dead, or physically dead. This person is dead. But there's a certain chiyus deep inside, that when chiyus HaMesim comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Machayim from that chiyus. There's still a little bit of life left in him. Just like the body never completely decomposes, then the Shara never completely leaves. There's a little bit of chiyus left in a yid. A yid never dies. Except that we can't see it. That's what Yechezkel told HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could see it. You could see how there's chiyus in these bones, but I can't see chiyus in these bones. It's something only Hashem could see. Okay? So that's what chiyus HaMesim comes from. Because Rebbe takes that little bit of chiyus that's left, that only he could see, and it spreads, and it grows, and it comes out, and it becomes chiyus HaMesim. Where does that chiyus come from? Where does that stubborn chiyus come from? It never leaves a yid. Where does it come from? It's in our genes. It comes from the fact that we're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yaakov being the final Av. It comes from the fact that we're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And it's because of that, for example, we've discussed many times that by Yaakov it became established in Klal Yisrael, that Yisrael, Afal Pi Shechata Yisrael, a Yid, even though he doesn't have Veira, he's still a Yid. No matter what he does, no matter how bad he is, he'll always be a Yid. What does that mean? It means there's a certain chiyus that a yid has that you can't stamp out. Whether spiritually or physically, you can't stamp out the chiyus of yid. Where does that come from? It comes from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu had a brother Yitzchak. He had a brother Esav, who decided he's not Jewish. Is he Jewish? He's not Jewish. But after Yaakov Avinu, there's no such a thing. Lo yidach mimenu nidach. There's no such a thing as someone becoming ois yid. Because from Yaakov Avinu and on, when it was finished, the Hishtalshalas of the Avos, from Yaakov Avinu and on, there's such a chiyus in Yidden, there's such a life, that it's impossible to wipe out the life of the Yid. It's impossible. Not physically, and not spiritually. Now you understand what it means, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis? Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, because every single one of us is part of Yaakov Avinu. Reb Tzadik says in the page that I couldn't find that we're not called Yisrael. Yaakov is called Yisrael and we're called Yisrael. Oh, what a funny coincidence. It's not a coincidence. We're called Yisrael because every single one of our neshamas is part of Yaakov. We're descendants of Yaakov. And therefore the chiyus, the strength that our neshama has, comes from Yaakov. And if we find that our neshama and our guf could never be completely obliterated, what that equals is Yaakov Avinu lo imes. Yaakov doesn't die. Mazare b'chayim. Just like his children can't be wiped out, can't be killed, can't be destroyed, not physically, not spiritually, it's impossible to wipe out the flame called Klal Yisrael. It's impossible to wipe out the flame called a Yid. It's impossible to blow out that flame. Afu b'chayim. So he's still alive. Because we all, our neshama is the neshamas of all of Klal Yisrael is part of the neshama of Yaakov Avinu. So when Yaakov Avinu died, we said in Pshat he died. But in Drush he never died, because that neshama inhabits every single Jewish body and is impossible to die. That's Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. And that's in Pshat. That's in Drush. In Pshat it is possible to die. But we said every time there's a drush, there's some hint in the pshat that something's going on in the drush. What's the hint that we have now? Binyamin, you see I'm going back to cover all my bases here. What's the hint in the pshat that there's such a thing? Because do you ever see a dead person and see any life in him? No. Do you ever see a person who's spiritually completely wiped out and not be able to manifest any Jewishness in him? Now should you ever see such a thing? And not be able to be married if there's any Judaism there at all? Do you ever see such a thing? Yeah. And if someone tells you, no, there's still Yaakov in the Loi Meis, there's still Chiyus there. I don't see it. There are some people, physically or spiritually, you don't see any Chiyus at all. Oh, but there's a little hint in the Pshat. Because there's a human being that never died. That human being that never died is a hint to us that there's some kind of Chiyus in Klal Yisrael that never ends. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do, just like when you have a drasha, you have one extra letter in the Torah, and that letter tells you the drasha, right? You have one kutze shel yud, you have one dot on top of a letter, and that tells you that there's a big drasha over there. We have one dot, we have one neshama that actually never died. And that's our clue. One second. How does it happen? How does that one person never died? How could that be? That little kasha in pshat, how could it be that there's an Eliyahu that never died, is the simen that there's something going on under the surface over here. What's the thing that's going on under the surface? It's called Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. That no Yid dies. Eliyahu and Avi brought it down into the world of Pshat. But all of us have it in the world of Drash. All of us have it underneath the Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis. So when we say that's why Yaakov Avinu is the one who brings Tchias, that's why Eliyahu and Avi is the one who brings Tchias HaMeisim. Because Eliyahu, who already has it in Pshat, he's the one who takes Gans Klal Yisrael and reconnects them to their root of Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, of that Chiyus that exists inside. And that's the pshat that Yaakov Avinu holds in Eiravon. Yaakov Avinu tells Eliyahu, you have to be Megala, you have to bring the Gula, you have to be Mechayim Meisim. What's the kesher to Yaakov Avinu and Eliyahu Anavi? What's the kesher? No, the kesher is that Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who brings out into the world of Pshat what Yaakov Avinu brought into the world of Drush. Let me just finish up and then I'm finishing a little early tonight so we'll have time to... I'm not going to talk about the Vavim. You can look it up at the last paragraph in the Maamar, but I think it's just... I'm just keeping it short because it's a new thing, it's a fresh thing. Let me just finish up. Five. So, hang on a second. I just want to end off just that there's a tremendous, tremendous chizuk over here. That is, it's not the important thing to know, that there's reservoirs of chiyus hidden in every yid. I know somebody who was very, 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 very depressed. Someone not from this yeshiva, a relative of mine. Was very, very, very down, very, very depressed. Year after year after year, and something happened at certain points. It's the after the Shemaya, davening. I don't know what it was, but at some point, suddenly, Hasechiana HaAtzamei Seva, the person came to life, That's an incredible thing to see. Now when we're with that person, we don't even remember that he was ever there. So lichtig, so levedic, so happy. There's no such a thing as giving up on the chiyus of a person. No such a thing. You don't see life in these bones? No such a thing. It means, and it's true in us also. Every time we do tshuva, the Tzaddik says, we're also drawing from that chiyus of Yaakov. We're pulling out from the chiyus that's deep, deep, deep inside of us. Every time we do tshuva, every time we take a step closer to Hashem, we're pulling out more chiyus from where? Not from the sky. Not from your pocket. You're pulling out chiyus from yourself. Inside every person is an infinite amount of chiyus and joy and a closeness to Hashem. It's all inside of us. We have Yaakov Avinu's neshama. Our job, and that's the challenge of living in this world.
Is only by Jews going,
don't.
I mean, sometimes a guy is very depressed, down, and for a long period of time.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee. There's no for sure reservoirs of chiyus in there. It could be that a guy could tap into it also. It could be that he can't. It could be that he has something to tap into, and it could be that he doesn't. But by a yid, he definitely has something to tap into. There's definitely a chiyus there, because Yaakov Aminu Lo Yimeis. You definitely find yourself going to turn their lives around, 100%. But you also can never be sure what's there. But a yid, that's a big difference than a yid and a guy. But a yid, you know for sure there's something there. There's something to work with. No matter how many years pass, no matter how dismal the situation is, there's something there. And that's a gewaldic thing. So when we learn Parshas Vayechi, and we see, you know, Yaakov Avinu is Nifter, the Gemara says Yaakov Avinu Lo Yimeis, to me this was an unbelievable thing. This is a difficult maimer. We'll talk in another few minutes, and in another few minutes we'll try to get it clear. It's a difficult maimer. But the message of the maimer is that Yaakov Avinu Lo Yimeis is not something that happened a few thousand years ago. A cute little chazal. Yaakov Avinu Lo Yimeis. Oh, he didn't die. Yaakov Avinu Lo Yimeis is part of our chiyus. Because Yaakov Avinu Lo Yimeis, that's why we're alive today. That's why we have chiyus today. That's why Klal Yisrael will survive. And that's how chiyus amesim is going to happen. And that's how we're able to do tshuva. And that's how we're able to come out of difficult situations. All because Yaakov Avinu Lo Yimeis.